Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today we have Zach Flood. He's here to talk to us today about working in providing consultations and trainings to businesses and particularly workplace sexual harassment. And just by his last name, you might wonder if I'm related, but yes, we are. He is my son.
Hey, Dad.
So thanks for being here, Zach, today and talking about this subject. Before we get into it a little bit, maybe we can say a little bit about your experience of kind of having a couple different pivots that have landed you to where you're at today.
Yeah, I kind of originally in undergrad, I kind of decided that I wanted to go into psychology, kind of thinking of just maybe more at a base level, kind of like working with people and being kind of a social individual and kind of wanting to kind of get into how people think and how people interact. And that was kind of the thought process behind it originally. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went along the process, liked some of the classes, didn't like some of the classes. And then I actually came to the Fountain Hill Center, Men's Resource Center, and shadowed for a couple times and kind of was around a little more in a clinical setting and was right. Kind of put off by it. Some kind of really intense stuff was kind of being processed and, kind of some of that stuff that I was just kind of had a little bit of a shock factor for me.
Right.
And I had taken a couple business classes in school and kind of that interested me. So I kind of had this pivot away from that where I wanted to go more into the business world and do sales because it was still obviously a very person-centered, kind of field. And so I did that for about seven and a half years. Right. So I started in beer and wine doing sales and then I moved more into a financial role where I was doing partner management and that kind of stuff and work kind of in a corporate setting in an office in a high rise in Detroit and did that. And after a couple of years, I just started feeling a little empty where it just felt very transactional and very moving money from one bank account to the other and just wasn't a lot of purpose. I enjoyed a lot of the competitive aspect to it and right. There were a lot of positives to it, but I just didn't feel like I was really making the world a better place. Right. And so I kind of got to this point where I kind of wanted to kind of, I found myself kind of going back to it, to psychology and wanted to kind of work with men specifically because I've kind of seen kind of that life cycle a little bit more as I kind of was a little older in my older 20s, like, right. Seeing how I grew up and then kind of finding my own path and then finding or seeing men around me kind of dealing with different issues.
Right.
Especially in the workplace and seeing some of those workplace dynamics and just realizing that there was a lot of good to be done. And I think a lot of my skills that could have been used differently right. to kind of make the world a better place. So I decided to go back to school and get my master's and kind of go back into that world. So
yeah.
Circle of life.
So you kind of got exposure to kind of clinical, more mm-hmm. kind of mental illness, mental health, severe types of problems, acting yeah. out problems with men.
Yeah.
And then as you got into the corporate world, you started seeing that, male socialization and the training of men sometimes still can manifest some of the issues or problems can mm-hmm. manifest in just in an environment like that. And mm-hmm. I think I've heard you say that you became interested more in a wellness model and mm-hmm. how to make men a better versions of themselves, better leaders, better individuals in the workplace.
Yeah, no, it was something where kind of getting to your full potential was kind of what always was stuck in my head. There was, a lot of, high functioning individuals around right. me, but a lot of, kind of self-doubt kind of creeping in and performance anxiety and different, especially in the environments that I was right. in, it was very production based where right. you had to hit numbers and all this different stuff where there were goals and expectations and all this stuff where, kind of getting in your own head would be to your own detriment, right?
Right.
And so trying to, kind of find ways where we can try to help people become the fullest versions of themselves. And I think that has to do with not only on an individual level where you're working with men, kind of my passion for working with men and kind of all the kind of underlying things below that, but also organizations and how much culture is important And a culture of wellness and a culture of rising tide floats all boats, all that kind of stuff right. that goes along with it, that kind of right. Drew me to that as well.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about specifically sexual harassment and the consultations mm-hmm. we've done together, mm-hmm. you know, for companies and the, especially in the rise of the Me Too movement mm-hmm. and this awareness around workplace relationships, men in the workplace, working alongside women and some of that, and how a lot of men are really afraid. They're not mm-hmm. sure how to interact. They're not mm-hmm. sure what the rules are anymore. And yep. so say a little bit about what you and I experienced in some of our work together with that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it's been mentioned on this podcast before, especially as you get a lot of these men where they're introduced to some of these new ideas where we can talk about like emotional intelligence and all these different things that go into being a fuller version of a man, right? And right. they're like, hey, why didn't they teach us this in school,
right?
Right? And so that can kind of apply to a workplace where we can talk to them about, kind of these different ways that we can interact with people that might not be just like us, right? Or might be kind of part of our tribe.
Right.
And so you see a lot of this, like one, you see a lot of light bulbs kind of going on around the room, which is really cool. But then you also see a lot of like furrowed brows and kind of like confusion because yeah. it's just something where if, you know, depending on how long they've been in the same place or whatever, they might've been kind of thinking one way for 35 years of their career.
Right.
And all of a sudden there's just like, it feels like an attack because it might feel so sudden, right?
Right.
And so you got these two guys strolling in with all these brave ideas and all of a sudden it just seems...
Right.
There's a lot of kind of friction there and kind right. of cognitive dissonance where they think, you know, they don't think of themselves as like bad men or whatever. And there might right. be a lot of like, oh, wow, if I, you know, kind of, I think fear is that right, is right. that word because of that kind of suddenness of it.
Yeah.
So.
And what we ran into, I remember in one particular consultation we did where they were talking about how there was this men who worked outside and did a lot of stuff. And then there was a lot of women inside the yep. office and they were toggling in and out. And then they would also have these work parties where they would have outings and alcohol would be involved. And mm-hmm. the person who brought us in said, that's where there was a lot of problems because mm-hmm. then they, you know, got a little liquid courage and right. then they bring it back into the office. And there was just a yep. lot of discussion about how you know what is consensual. And we were able to talk to them about if you don't know this person,
yeah.
you have to be really, really cautious in how you interact yeah. in the workplace.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger ones that we saw, not to get too specific here, but right. we kind of talked about like the fight or flight, which is what everyone kind of knows, right?
Right.
It's, you're kind of taught that in biology class or whatever, right. but then kind of the introduction of the idea of fight, flight, or freeze,
right.
and then just kind of being able to realize that just because they're not like putting an arm out and pushing you out
right.
or verbally telling you that like stop I am it, uncomfortable yeah. or right. stop it, that doesn't mean that they're not uncomfortable, right?
Right.
And sometimes sometimes just men or individuals in general just aren't taught that or they're not right. socialized to kind of recognize that.
Right.
And so kind of introducing that idea. And I remember like we walked into one of these places and
right.
and an individual, like it was just a bunch of men in the room, and the woman was a secretary came in, and like right. three of them joked, like asking for more coffee, and then like it was kind of like laughed about, and then like and we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, oh, okay, cool, like we got some stuff to work on here, but then we kind of like we talked to them. And also made it very clear that we don't want to like change who they are, right?
Right.
We don't want them to just abandon all of their masculinity because that's
right.
not the point.
Right.
It's just to become more complete, but also just kind of realizing that there's work to be done because I don't think it was malicious in the way that he said it. It was kind of through a lens of humor, but sometimes that
yeah.
humor is just not going to hit home and it's just not okay.
Right.
So it's just kind of being able to slowly kind of introduce these new ideas to kind of bring in this culture of like, you know, mindfulness of like, hey, what are we actually saying? Or we're not just
right.
kind of saying stuff off the cuff. We have to be kind
right.
of meaningful, especially in a workplace and a professional environment.
Right.
So,
yeah. And I, this person that brought us in, he said he was online and he saw a lot of compulsory kinds mm-hmm. of classes that people can take in front of the screen. And then you take a quiz about what is, quid pro quo and hostile workplace and such. And we were able to, but he wanted us to come in because he wanted it to be more personal, more tailored. And we had conversations with him ahead of time to get an understanding of their culture. And then we kind of tailored a consultation. So it was very, a very satisfying process.
I remember. I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was really great. That one in particular.
Yeah.
Because it was, kind of getting that buy-in about like a third of the way through where you're kind of introducing some ideas they might not have heard of, but then you're kind of applying it to a workplace.
Right.
And all of a sudden you start seeing like heads bobbing and, and then kind of people looking at each other and you can kind of see it in the room. And then by the end, they're throwing out ideas and, and they're kind of talking with each other about like, oh, remember that one time or, you know, all these different things are kind of happening, you kind of see it in real time. And that's what's really exciting is when that stuff and they start collaborating and then there's that sense of teamwork and we're all in this together. And then that kind of ties back into that culture where culture is not important unless you make it important.
Right.
And so I think that's just really cool to see in real time.
Right. And I think that one of the things that we marveled at this director or manager that would bring these people that bring us in is that they weren't necessarily having incidents where they were having lawsuits or they were having, you know, human resource. They were kind of thought leaders in business to be able to say, okay, there's a lot of Me Too stuff going on, a lot of talk about consent, and they wanted to be preventative. They wanted to be ahead of it. And that was, it was inspiring to work with those kind of leaders.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, strictly through the lens of like, hey, this is important for just the humanity of my employees and the workplace that I'm, you know, that I'm trying to run here. Like, I want my, you know, my employees, my individuals to live healthy lives and be here and be happy here. Like, that's one. And I think that was really important where the proactivity of it and not, you know, not waiting until, I think goes back to that wellness model that you were talking about. That's, there's a parallel there where I'm not waiting until I, you know, have my arm falling off and I have to go to the doctor, right? I want to go to the gym or, you know, be healthy throughout my life. So I'm trying to prevent some of those trips to the doctor, right? And you can kind of draw that parallel into business. And also, I think if you look at it from more of like through a business lens and this, you know, the labor market these days, it's really tough to like retain talent. And so all these, like that's something where millennials and younger people are looking for more out of their workplace rather than just security and a paycheck. There's a lot of mission that goes along with work and culture and like, hey, where am I working? What kind of people am I working with? And that's more important these days. And so having this as a tool in your tool bag as a business leader, like that's just really exciting that you can do that and kind of and market that to your employees. Like, hey, this is important because if it's made important, then that's going to bleed into other things.
Right.
And that's only going to lift your culture. And that's what's really exciting.
Yeah. And I think that you and I have had some discussions about psychology and the history of psychology and how it's been used and how it's been in, you know, this huge medical model of illness and diagnostic codes. And your passion is more around this wellness model and being able to take it into businesses and more of a coaching, kind of a increasing someone's potential as a human being and using psychology to for that purpose of making you a better version of yourself. And and that's what I hear about you being excited about.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think the workplace is just a really like kind of a tangible place to kind of do something like that because, I mean, especially as I kind of bring back to what I was saying earlier, is people are spending 8, 9, 10 hours a day at a workplace. I mean, it's a huge chunk of their lives and there's so much interpersonal, and especially now that we're moving into more of a service economy and we're not producing as many things anymore, that the interpersonal, you know, conflict resolution and all that stuff is going to become even more and more important as we go forward in the 21st century. So we're not going to get less interpersonal with business in the economy. And so that's really exciting that like, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there. And especially, I think it ties in, especially for me, for men, and just how this, you know, the roles and the world is changing. And so just having to be able to navigate that in a very healthy way where we're doing the right thing, you know, and kind of taking ownership of that, which is also really exciting.
So do you see, I mean, if you had to, you know, take a risk and be a visionary and say, okay, you know, here's where we're at today, but like 20 years from now or something, do you think that businesses, companies might take mental wellness into as a greater priority? And I mean, they already have things like, you know, places for people to take naps because now they know that, you know, they're more productive. And so we've learned some things. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if there's going to be like support groups in companies where it's like you can go and you can talk about stuff, or there's mental health professionals are going to be more integral in, as consultants. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do. I think there's always going to be an an aspect of it where it's like there's got to be some sort of value and payoff to it, because that's just kind of the world of business, right? I'm, of course, as an ideologue, of course, I would love for all of that to not even be taken into consideration and just to focus on the mental health. But right. As a realist, you got to kind of look at that. But still, how many, you know, health plans or health insurance plans in like 1952 do you think had like some sort of wellness component where like now if you like don't smoke and you exercise, like you can get a discount? Like that didn't exist back in the day, right?
Right.
And so I hope that progression kind of continues. And I see that, you know, I think with more and more research comes out on kind of that mindfulness and mental health and all the stuff, like the stigma is just, it's slowly kind of eking away.
Right.
And so I think that's only going to continue in being able to also see it through the lens of like, this is going to increase productivity. This is going to allow us to make our firm better. And also just all the people, because if they're happy when they're working and they love the place they work and they feel like they're vibrant, then they're only going to stay there and work more.
Right.
It's not going to be like the, oh, I feel really awesome and healthy, like I want to just go home, you know? So, so I think if you have the right kind of workplace and the right kind of people there and you're able to put an emphasis on it, it's only going to help. It's not going to hurt.
Yeah, that is, we kind of wind down. I think the excitement I have, having been in the field since 92 now as a licensed therapist a year, is that it was such a focus on the illness paradigm that I grew up learning. And the work that I do with men here in the center is really more about helping them be a better version of themselves as human beings, fathers, husbands, dads. And so to see it even go further into the workplace and seeing psychology move into more of a wellness model and getting people to reach their potential, I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, I think there's so much work to be done, which is awesome. And so I think there's just a lot of ways that we can help everyone around us. So.
Well, I thank you for coming and talking about it, and I love your vision, and I hope it gets realized.
Yeah, me too.
And it's a good chat with you, Zach.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Right. Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.